Howdy, folks. This is the Words of Truth from the Scriptures podcast. I'm Brian Yeager. Glad you're listening. Hopefully this lesson will be beneficial to you and your studies in God's Word and your growth and working to please Him unto eternal life. We're going to talk about today language that we'll get to here in a little bit where the text says when they oppose themselves. And the idea behind today's lesson is really about people that resist the truth. And of course, anytime you open your Bible, anytime you're studying, you don't want to immediately start thinking about everybody else. The first application has to be to yourself. So as we examine this lesson, think about you. And then, you know, as you make applications in your life beyond yourself, then of course, feel free to use this information and a way to help others and their obedience to God too. We're going to open up in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, where verses 11 through 17 says, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiff-necked his neck and hardened his heart from turning on the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets till the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hands. What a terrible account, right? Zedekiah, you're a king. You're supposed to be looking after your people, but you're rebelling against God, rebelling against all that God would have you do. And you rebelled against the prophet of God, Jeremiah, that was speaking from the mouth of the Lord, as we read in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 12. Well, when you turn over the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 through 23, sometimes people like Zedekiah and others at the time that Judah was fallen into Babylon captivity, they just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. In Jeremiah 17, 19 through 23, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath, nor bring it into the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. So, not just Zedekiah, but the rulers, the people, everybody in Judah, of course, there's always a remnant. We, you know, when you're studying the scriptures, you know that there are a faithful few. But the majority, they just don't want to hear it. They refused. They didn't obey. They didn't listen. They didn't incline their ear. When you look at the book of Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 7, you find that Zechariah 7, 8 through 12, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. As you're studying through the prophets, as you're studying through the history of Israel and the Old Testament in general, it's just over and over and over again, you see these things. I mean, Zechariah is a prophet after the children of Israel come out of captivity. He's not there at the time Jeremiah is. So you see prior to Jeremiah, you see after Jeremiah, during the days of Jeremiah the prophet, they're just rejecting the word of the Lord. Like in Jeremiah 35, 15, I've sent also unto you all my servants the prophet, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings, and go not after the gods to serve them. And you should dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. So throughout their history, God says, I want to tell you what to do to please me so that it'll be well with you. And the people just keep saying, nope, we don't want to hear it. Nope, we don't want to hear it. And there are times where, you know, even going back to the days of Moses, where people had convinced themselves that they were rejecting the messenger rather than the message. And Acts 7:35 says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. It's like the little kids, right, on a playground where one of the children tells a group of kids, hey, or even an individual child, hey, don't do that. You're going to get in trouble, blah, 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 blah. And then the other kid replies and said, you're not boss over me. Well, that was how they looked at Moses. You know, who made thee a ruler and a judge? Well, God did. But even besides that, Moses was speaking the truth to try and help his brethren, the children of Israel, but they just did not want to hear it, like we see during the days of the prophets going forward, etc. It's just a terrible, repetitive period of history. Well, what's really changed? You know, when you look at the preaching and declaration of God's word throughout the first century today, what people still have that mentality. Who are you to tell me, or whatever the case may be? They think that they're rejecting the person that's doing the teaching. Like I can't tell you how many countless times, either verbally or in writing, I have shown somebody the scriptures, just what the Bible says, not my own ideas behind those scriptures. And people will just say, I don't agree with you. It's like, well, we just looked at God's word. What do you mean you don't agree with me? It's what the Lord had to say. Well, this mentality, think back to the days Jesus was on earth. In John chapter 12, 36 through 44, it says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I shall heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Oh, did they miss that? You know, they were too focused on their importance or their place among the society and place in the synagogue and where they were. They were more afraid of the Pharisees. They didn't realize they weren't just rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting the Father. In John 5, 36 to 38, Jesus says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. They didn't realize this. And when it was pointed out to them, it didn't change anything. Didn't make them take a step back and say, wait a minute, we didn't realize this. Later in that context, in John 5, 43 through 47, says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Look at that. So it wasn't, We don't believe you're the messenger of God. It was, we don't believe you because we don't want to hear what you say, and we don't believe it's of your Father. In verse 44 through 47, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So they have a pattern, right? Like we've already been addressing. Later in John 8, 45 through 47, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So I want you to think about this in self-reflection. Are there people that you just won't listen to, even if they're just telling you what the Bible says? Maybe you don't like them. Maybe you don't like me. Maybe you listen to my podcast. I know I've got a small fan club out there. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I know there are a few people that listen to me. I know because I've gotten some emails from them that are essentially just wanting to find something that they can attempt to argue with me about. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, rightly divided in context, with the meaning of the context. Have you considered that when you're rejecting that, you're not rejecting the messenger, you're rejecting the message? Think about something Jesus said about the disciples. In Luke 10:16, he says to them, when he was sending out the 70 in context, he that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So listen to that progression of thought. Jesus says, I'm going to send out my disciples. Those that despise them are despising me, and those that are despising me are despising him that sent me. Well, who sent him? As we've already declared through the scriptures we've read in John 12 and 5 and 8, it's God the Father that you're despising. In John 13, 20, this is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So don't think that rejecting the messenger is separate from rejecting the message. It's not. And regardless of the messenger, I've said this a lot in the past. I'm starting to say it more frequently again in the present. But I just want you to imagine something. If Satan, and this is not going to happen, you know, we're not in the days where Satan is going to take you out in the wilderness like he did in with Jesus in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. So this is just a hypothetical. Don't read anything more into it. When you get to the book of Jude in the Bible, it says in Jude verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of that great day. Satan is bound. Don't take this illustration further than what you need to. If Satan were to come and sit down right across the table from you and tell you, God says this, and provided scriptures that after you look at them in context, like you should no matter who the messenger is, right? Be those noble Bereans of Acts 17, 10, 11. Search the scriptures where those things are so. You search it and you find it to be the truth. Are you going to reject the truth just because it came out of Satan's mouth? It's the truth regardless of who spoke it, because the origin of the message is God, and you verified that through the scriptures. Would you lose your soul just because you despise the messenger? I would imagine the majority of people that would listen to this podcast would verbally say they despise Satan. But if Satan speaketh the truth and you can be saved from it, it's the truth that saves you, not the messenger. Why be against the messenger? In Galatians 4:16, when Paul's trying to help the churches of Galatia, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It's illogical. Why would you hate the messenger? But people do that. They get angry at that the one saying what they're saying, even though the words be of God. Why would you do that? The messenger is not, when the truth is being taught, the messenger is not the origin of the message. In Acts 15:35, for example, Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch. teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. It wasn't the words of Paul and Barnabas. It was the words of the Lord. Will you let that sink down into your ears for a moment? Let it penetrate your heart and think about it. Whoever the messenger, and I know if we're talking about different things, you know, you're to mark and avoid false teachers, Romans 16, 17, and 18. I'm not trying to tell you just go out and listen to anybody and everybody. False teachers are smooth. We've had lessons on this in previous podcasts. Go back and listen to the debate podcast about debating a false teacher in a friendly manner. I've covered a lot in that and other podcasts. I'm not telling you to go out and listen to false teachers. Just a simple application. Why reject the message? Because for whatever reason, right or wrong, you despise the messenger. Don't do that. Now, I want you to come over to Acts 18 and thought, or if you're sitting down and listening, I know some of you have told me you listen to the podcast while you're driving to work. Others listen to it while they're working because they're allowed to do that. And I encourage you to listen to the podcast if it's against your employer's rules. But in Acts 18, where our lesson comes from, verses 1 through 6, says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, or he worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And here's the title of our lesson. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. I want to talk for a moment about that language. They oppose themselves. And as we were at the beginning of this podcast, I talked about how we're going to be talking about people who resist the truth. Well, that Greek term that is used and is translated, they oppose themselves. If you look it up in Strong's Dictionary, it's Strong's number 498. It's translated resisteth and resist. For example, in Romans 13:2, the instruction contextually is about obedience to civil government. It says in Romans 13:2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power. Now, the second time the word resisteth appears, that's a different Greek word. It says resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So resisteth the second time, and the word resist there are different Greek words, but to the word of our study, whosoever therefore resisteth the power or the authority of the civil government. That's the idea. Like, I'm going to refuse it. I'm going to resist it. And another verse in James 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then in verse Peter 5:5, similar point as James 4, 6. You know, James 4, 6 talking about repentance in context, verses 6 through 10. This is just talking about submission in 1 Peter 5:5, but similar to James 4:6, and its application says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And then back in the book of James, in James 5, in verse 6, that Greek word is just translated resist, where it says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. So it's the idea of like fighting against, right? It's to oppose rather than resisting the will of God, regardless of the messenger. We ought to be submitting to it. Those would be antonyms. Those would be the opposites. Resisting is on the one hand, submitting on the other. And James 4:7, back to that context where if you read the next verse after we looked at James 4:6, says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then in 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to submit yourself to the will of God. You don't want to resist it. You don't want to step back and say, like in Acts 18, where they opposed themselves or they resisted, they themselves resisted would be a way you could translate that. Then they blasphemed. It's like, you know, you go on to read the remainder of the context, they, Paul becomes their enemy. They run Paul out of town. You're the one that's come here. You've turned the world upside down. You've come here. You're a troublemaker. You know, so often men that teach and preach the truth are attacked because the general idea, and it's effective. The reason why this happens so often is it's effective. People think they can attack the messenger, then they can diminish the message, and it very often works. You know, somebody that is teaching false doctrine, you can certainly go after the messenger because a false teacher is a damnable individual, but you ought to prove why the message is wrong. But the personal attacks and accusations and things fly, much like you see in the political realm. People will go to great lengths to destroy somebody's message by attacking the messenger. Politics is full of corruption on every side. Doesn't matter what party you are in alignment with. Politicians are like one of my brethren here, John, said one time, he said, how do you know when a politician's lying? He says, his lips are moving. And I've heard others say it too. I know he's not the origin of that joke, but the point is there. I'm not trying to use politics as a parallel to religion because I got to tell you, there are a lot of similarities, but they're not parallels. There are many, many false teachers, but there's not many in the political world, or I don't know who you'd name today that I'm aware of that would be honest in any way. But to come back to the point, you got to look at the message. Is it of God? Does it originate with our Father in heaven? Is it His will? Focus on the teaching. If it's the teaching is right, that's what you obey. You're not obeying the messenger. In Romans 6:17, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You may not personally find whoever it is that's telling you the truth to be somebody you want to sit down with and have a casual cup of coffee. Maybe they rub you the wrong way. I mean, that's pretty often. When somebody's telling you you're wrong and that you need to repent, sometimes it's pretty hard to get close to that person. When I first moved to El Paso, excuse me here for a second. So when I first moved here to El Paso, there were quite a few people that definitely did not enjoy my lessons, in part because there were things that were going on that were wrong, and the congregation needed to make that right. And I harped on it and harped on it and harped on it until the changes were made. And there's one particular sister in Christ who has now gone on to paradise. And she told me years down the road, she said, when you came here, I didn't like you. I didn't like you at all. Now, as time grew, she didn't just like me. We loved each other. She's my sister in Christ. But at first, some of those messages were hard and they hit home, but it worked because she was responsible enough to look past how much she was displeased with my person and the way that I carried myself or spoke the message, and she listened to the message. She got past the messenger. When you're opposing the truth, you got to think about who you're fighting against. I want to take something from Acts 5. You know, the context going back to chapter 3 where Peter and John heal a man and then they teach the word of God and teach about conversion to the audience. Well, when the religious leaders heard of it and that a notable miracle had been done, when you're reading Acts chapters 4 and 5, they're trying to stop the apostles from preaching. And that context in Acts 5:17-18, the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. This is the second time they're arrested. And verse 27-28, when they brought them, they set before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then down in verse 33, when they heard that they were cut to the heart, took counsel to slay them. They didn't like Peter and the apostles' answer. So in verse 34, then stood up there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said to them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For behold, the days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God." I bring that up. The application there is directly to the Jewish leaders that were trying to forbid the preaching of the gospel from the work of the apostles. But I want you to think about the principle there that Gamaliel brought forth. Who are you fighting against when you oppose the teaching of the truth? You're fighting against God. Thus, you're resisting God. You're opposing God. Have you thought about that? Let that sink in. Well, what do you think that discussion is going to be like when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? What do you think that's going to be like? I think Jesus is going to say, yep, you resisted my Father. But that's all right. I get it. I understand it. You didn't like the preacher. No. Oh, that's not going to be what that discussion's like. You could see that when we looked at John 12:36-44 and John 5:36-38, and then through the end of the chapter, etc. You could see that when we looked at Luke 10:16 and John 13:20 about how Jesus perceives who you're despising and if you don't receive them that are sent. Well, folks, who's to blame for that? You remember in Acts 18, when we were looking at that, they opposed themselves, they blasphemed, and Paul shook his raiment, and he said, "Your blood be upon your own hands, heads, I'm clean." Back in Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel's a prophet at this time. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, that is, unto Ezekiel, saying, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So you notice that. Even if the watchman fails, both still die. But the watchman's held accountable. Back to the point. "So thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman on the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity." So again, I want to come back to this. If somebody doesn't warn you, you're not free from guilt. Back to the text. but his blood will I require at thine hand. So will you understand that a faithful messenger of God's word knows he must warn you about the wrath of God to come? The text goes on. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So that's what Paul's talking about in Acts 18 when he says in verse 6, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. He did his job. He gave the warning. I don't want you to think that Paul said that lightly either. And anybody that truly does the work of an evangelist, anybody that truly is out there teaching, it's not like that individual, and I'll just speak for myself, it's not for me. When I warn somebody and they reject it, I don't just wash my hands and say, well, that's on them. I still think about it. I still ponder it. I mean, just today as I'm recording this podcast, maybe 2 hours ago, I had a conversation with a man and a woman out in front of my house, and we're talking to them and was asking them if they'd be interested sometime in talking about the gospel, and you know, nothing as of yet. We'll say, well, that stays on my mind. That doesn't go away. People that really teach, like Paul, when he said that in Acts 18:6, I want you to think about what's going on inside of him. And we know because he says it in Romans 9, 1-3. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that of a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Well, who is he talking to in Acts 18? Jews, synagogue, his brethren, according to the flesh. What's going on when they reject the word of God? Yeah, he's pure from their blood, but he has a great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. When you reject a true messenger of God, it affects them. But you're rejecting the messenger and the message. So guess who the greater impact is on? It may affect that messenger emotionally, but it's your soul that's lost. A faithful teacher of God's word, he's going to declare the whole counsel of God, and he understands that's his job. Speaking of Paul, in Acts 20, he's talking to the elders in Ephesus. Verse 20 says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Then later in that context, 26 and 27, Acts 20, 26, 27, wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Faithful teacher is going to teach it. He's not going to be held accountable if he expresses to you the will of God and you reject it. He's done his job, just like was said back in Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9. The question then becomes, will you take heed to the word of God, regardless of who the messenger is, and will you take obedient action? I want you to think about what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, these are people that believe and bring forth works. And what Jesus say? I never knew you. Will you just let that sink in for a minute? Do you want to spend your life thinking that you're acceptable unto the Lord, works in His name, bringing glory to Him, only in the judgment day to hear, I never knew you? Wow, what a waste of a life and a lifetime, and the consequences eternal. He continues, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, now I want you to think about this. That's not just his words, but the words of the apostles, etc. His words that others may be quoting to you or reading to you from the book, from the scriptures. Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Are you wise or foolish? Are you listening to God's word, regardless of the messenger, and putting it to work in your life to please our Creator? Or are you refusing it and not building upon that foundation of rock, the truth? The consequences for those that make the choice not to obey the word of God are severe. In 2 Thessalonians 2:12, says they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in righteousness. Damnation. The book of Jude, contextually talking about people that are trying to creep in and false brethren, says, I will therefore put you, Jude verse 5, says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Whoa. Go all the way back again to the days of Moses. God hasn't changed in the way that he views disobedience. You remember the children of Israel, you know, in the way that they looked at Moses with who made you a ruler and a deliverer or judge? They rejected God. They believed not God. Yeah, they may have thought they were just rejecting the messenger. Well, I want you to think about what causes God to be wroth or full of wrath. In Psalm 78, 21, and 22, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. But we don't like Moses. Who cares? Moses isn't as good of a speaker as someone else. Who cares? If Moses is speaking forth the word of God and you reject it, you're going to face the wrath of the Almighty. The book of Hebrews has a lot of great lessons written to Jewish Christians in the first century. What we're about to look at is in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. The original count is back in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Well, Hebrews 3, 7 through 19 gives us an abbreviation, and the lessons continue into chapter 4 here too, but we're just going to look at Hebrews 3, 17, 7 through 19. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. Again, going back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where God chose spies to go spy out the land of Canaan, the children of Israel. They were supposed to go take the land of Canaan. It was supposed to be their land, their inheritance that God had promised to their fathers. And the spies came back, and all of them, except for Joshua and Caleb, decided to raise a false report to crush the spirit of the people, to cause them to fear that so that they didn't go take the land. So the text says, when your fathers tempted me, Hebrews 3, verse 8, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they'd heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with them whom was he grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Are you going to be like them? I mean, it's mentioned in Hebrews 3, 7 through 19 as an example. Look back. We're to learn from those things that are written aforetime, Romans 15, 4. Look back and see what happened when God's people chose not to believe his words. He made a promise. You're going to go and take this land. They didn't believe it. weigh the consequences, regardless of the messenger, of what happens when you reject the word of the Lord. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, later, Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Refuse not him that speaketh." Well, who's speaking? Who's speaking? Our Lord is. And when men or maybe even a sister in Christ is sitting down with another sister in Christ and saying, "Look, this is what the scriptures say. You need to make corrections, or you need to do this." Remember back in that instruction in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 that we read earlier, "Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins." Not just evangelists, not just preachers, not just elders, but our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be looking out for our betterment. They're a messenger when they come to you with the word of God. And maybe they irritated you. Maybe you don't like how they said it. You know, sometimes that's the excuse, right? It's not what you said, it's how you said it. Who cares? Who cares? If it's a message that's going to save your soul, don't you want to hear it? And wouldn't you rather somebody not beat around the bush? I mean, if I took 5 years to tell you something you needed to hear today because you're going to die tomorrow, what good is me waiting to get it across in a way that you might find it more appealing? Or, you know, sometimes people will say, "Well, don't you think you ought to get to know somebody a little bit better before you tell them you're going to hell?" No, I'm not supposed to assume that we have tomorrow, Proverbs 27, 1. I'm supposed to speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I'm supposed to care enough about somebody's soul. So when you hear the word of God, regardless of who's saying it, you need to hear it. Take it to heart and do it. If you choose to oppose the message of God, regardless of whose mouth it's coming out of, you're hurting yourself. In Proverbs 15:32, it says, "He that refuses the instruction despises his own soul. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Years ago, I was having a Bible discussion with somebody, and they looked at me right into my eyes and said, "I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say." And I opened my Bible and I started reading some scriptures to them, and just, couldn't you hear me? This person says to me, "Couldn't you hear me?" There's another time, 1999, there's a man in the congregation that I was working with. He was in sin, and I was first privately and then publicly opposing him and trying to get him to repent and exposing what was really going on in the congregation. This man was very wealthy. He was accustomed to having all the control in a congregation. He wasn't an elder. He had been an elder in another congregation. And just to kind of give you an idea of his history, this guy was an elder, and the congregation in Christiansburg, Virginia, that he was an elder in, his brother-in-law, if I remember correctly, they were both elders. And one time they had such a dispute in a meeting of the eldership that they went out in the parking lot and fought. Well, this guy was that type of an individual. So as I was exposing some sinful things going on in the congregation from the pulpit, this man, and we're talking about days where things were a little different than they are today with technology. He couldn't put earbuds in his ear. You know, people today, if they want to ignore the preacher, I think they could probably do it discreetly by putting something else in their ears. But not back then. This man sat there, he crossed his arms, his legs, and he put earphones on and a Walkman. And he wanted me to know, he told me to my face, he says, when you get up to preach, I'm going to listen to a real preacher, not you. I don't know what real preacher was playing in his ears. But this man, I think about him all the time. I loved him. Matter of fact, when I first started working in that congregation, we did a lot together until I didn't do what he wanted me to do. And then he opposed anything that I said. Didn't care at all. I could just be reading the scriptures. I have a lot of stories like that. And as I'm sitting here talking about them, they're making me a little sad. So going to change course a little bit here. Don't be those people. Don't put the headphones on figuratively or literally. Listen to the truth. Don't be like the Jews were with Jesus or Paul. Don't be like Israel was. Not that they're two different groups of people, same group of people. Don't be like Israel was with Moses. If it's of God, you're fighting against God when you refuse it. In Luke 7, 29 and 30, says, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. When you refuse the word of God, you're hurting you. You may think that you're hurting the messenger. And to a degree, if the messenger is a speaker of the truth, you are, like we read in Romans 9, 1 through 3. But in the end, it's you. Eternal consequences because you're rejecting the word of God. Let this lesson hit you in your heart. And then, if you're listening to the truth, convey this to others who may not listen to you because they don't like you or whatever the excuse may be. Take it to heart. I want to see you in heaven. Thank you for listening. If you have questions, my phone number is 915-525-5794. Email brian@wordsoftruth.net. My website, www.wordsoftruth.net. Please let me help you out. I'd love to have the opportunity. If you've been listening, I'd like to get some feedback from you. If you wouldn't mind sending me a message, a call, text, whatever, 915-525-5794. You can reach me there pretty easily most of the time. Would appreciate any type of feedback that you could give me. If you're having any difficulties, last two podcasts I covered this, but if you're having any difficulties, maybe the podcast isn't dropping on the platform you're listening to for a couple of days or something like that. So I want to remind you, you can go to wordsoftruth.net, click on podcast. This podcast should be up mountain time by 2:30 on Sundays. On Tuesdays, should be up around 6:30 a.m. mountain time or 8:30 Eastern time. If it's not, check out podbean.com. The Podbean podcast app, because that is the first place that gets it. And again, you could see that right away on my website too. If you just click on podcast, you can listen from there, stream from there. But if you like apps, from what people are telling me, it shows up pretty quickly on Apple and on Spotify. It's going to be delayed in some other places, and that's beyond my control. YouTube takes me a little longer to get it up there. That's a separate operation. Same thing with Rumble. Takes me a little bit longer to get it on Rumble. But appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Love your questions and comments if you want to give them back to me. Until Tuesday, I hope you're well. Have a good one.